good to be here. How are you doing? Okay?
Wonderful.
That's good. One other prayer request. Dan McCready's family. I don't know how many people knew Dan. He came here. Yeah. So he passed away. He had a stroke about a little over a week ago. And yeah, he never really recovered. So he's with the Lord. He knew the Lord. There's no doubt about that. But his son is from England, and his wife is there. She's a believer. But let's just pray for them. Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in you, that we have life in you, not only for here, but also for eternity. And Lord, we thank you for having known Dan and fellowship with Dan. And Lord, we pray that the witness of his life, of you in his life, would speak to those that are there now. And Lord, we pray for comfort for them too. And we just thank you for the Christians that are gathering around there from the churches, various churches. And we just ask that you'd be glorified even through his death. Because, Lord, we know that he's living. So we thank you, Lord, for your testimony through each of us believers, Lord. Through Dan, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He said to Fred Reitzma, when Fred asked him, "Where are you staying?" Fred met him in the CRC in Smithers, and he came to a men's fellowship, and then, "Where are you staying?" "Pontiac Hotel." Well, now he's not in Pontiac Hotel no more. Pontiac Hotel meant he was sleeping in his Pontiac at that moment. And he was a versatile guy. But, yeah, I'm thankful. So I have a little song that the Lord gave me. I pray that the Lord will give me a song every day. Get my heart tuned up. Head sometimes just doesn't cut her. He wants us to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. And so this one goes like this. You might know it. I don't know. I'll sing it twice. It's a prayer. Set my spirit free that I might worship thee. Set my spirit free that I might praise thy name. Let all bondage go and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship thee. So if you know it, sing it out. Set my spirit free that I might worship thee. Set my spirit free that I might praise thy name. Let all bondage go and let deliverance flow. Set my spirit free to worship thee. Thank you, Lord, for that song. If I wait long enough, we're going to get into it more and more here. We're going to do Galatians. If I wait long enough, he gives me a song. It's amazing. But if I'm in a hurry, read my scripture, run out, say a few quick prayer, no song. Gotta wait. Wait on the Lord. Galatians. I'd like to share from Galatians the next three Sundays. Galatians is a really special book because it talks about Christ doing all the work. Not only to save us, but to keep us too. And the Galatians were, it's a province in Asia Minor, Northern Asia Minor. That this is the only book that Paul wrote to a number of churches, about five or six, in the province of Galatia. And their people that lived there were kind of nomadic. They were Celtic, actually, and they were called Gauls, and that's where Galatia comes from. And the Romans made it into a province and said, this is where you guys are going to live, or this is where you live, and we're going to rule over you. So Paul had visited those churches, And then he realized that there was, he heard back. They got off. And you know, for me, I used to read that and think, boy, they were off. I didn't really apply it to me, how I can get off in the same way. So there was error in the church, and he really, this book here, he rebukes more than in any other book. And he starts right in on it. I thought it, can we take 6 minutes and I'll read both of these chapters? Might be a good idea. I got the NLT here, so it might be a little different than yours, and if it's that much different, maybe just listen. But if you have the NLT, it should be the same. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches in Galatia. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we presented to you. I say again, what we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I could proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. While this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away into Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I am telling you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into provinces of Syria and Cilicia. And still, the Christians in the churches in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that what the people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. Then, 14 years later, when I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas and Titus came along too, I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders in the church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts
had been wasted and I was running the race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion Titus be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Even the question came up only because of some so-called Christians there, false ones, really, who were secretly brought in. They sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations, but we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. And the leaders of the church had nothing to add to what I was preaching. By the way, their reputation as great leaders made no difference to me, for God has no favorites. Instead, they saw that God had given me the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as he had given Peter the responsibility of preaching to the Jews. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews also worked through me as apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, James, Peter, and John, who were known as pillars of the church, recognized the gift God had given me, and they accepted Barnabas and me as their co-workers. They encouraged us to keep preaching to the Gentiles while they continued their work with the Jews. Their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. But, there's a but here now. Whenever it says but, it's a turnaround. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face. So, for what he did was wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised. And afterward, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from those people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter, and all the other in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law would make us right with God, then there is no need for Christ to die. God bless his word. That's a long one. But you know what? It's good to go through. It's powerful. And this one here is amazing, really. What I think what happened is the people in Galatia were fooled by certain people that were deceiving. He said so-called Christians. They came and they fooled them. And they were saying, you got to obey the law. Part of it, well, the symbolic part of it was circumcision. But it was, you got to obey the law, plus you got to have faith in Jesus. And so And they were undermining Paul. And I'm quite sure they probably said, who's this Paul guy who came along? Because here he speaks of his authority. We'll just go through this a little bit here. Skim through it now since we read it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. He's saying he had the authority to say what he's going to say here because he's an apostle called by God. So this is not a revelation through people. It isn't some kind of idea, new idea that came up. It was directly from God to Paul. And if you remember, Paul met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Paul says, remember what I was like before? Well, he was an accomplice to killing Christians. He was there when Stephen was stoned. But Jesus met him there, and from that moment on, he was a changed man. So, and God revealed himself to him. No man-made authority here, straight from God. And I'm thankful we've got the Word of God here, because this is from God. If we know the Word of God, we can speak with authority. Paul wrote this down for us. And then, in 1 verse 6, he says, I'm shocked, astonished, I think Jared read, and probably the ESV, but I'm shocked that you've already turned away from the truth. Shocked. Another place he says, you foolish Galatians. Another place in NIV it says, who bewitched you? And we're going to talk about that next couple Sundays. Who bewitched you that you fell away from the truth so soon? So pretty important stuff here, what he's dealing with, to come down so hard. And so in verse 1, 11, and 12, here he says again, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. So he had a direct, he wrote this. It's the inspired word of God. He had a direct revelation from God. Now that's, you know, sometimes I advocate in court, kind of a pretty important place. You know, you don't monkey around there. You got to have your cell phone off. You don't, people don't argue back and forth. There's nothing like that because you're out of there. That sheriff hauls you right out. There's a certain authority with that. But the authority of Jesus Christ is over it all. And so every nation, every tribe, every tongue, over the Galatian, over Houston, over Humboldt. Pray for Humboldt, it says on their sign. Pray for Humboldt. We need to. When these kind of things happen, then we realize, wow, we're here. This is a temporary life we have here. There's an eternal life coming. And Paul's talking about how do we receive that? And so, yeah, from Christ. And then he goes to 2:8. We're skipping along pretty fast here. But in 2:8 he says, just read it here in a sec. For the same God who worked through Peter as the apostle to the Jews was working through me as an apostle to the Gentiles. So Peter and all the rest of the apostles at one point in 2:11, it says, but when Peter came to Antioch, this is another part. Sorry. But the same God who gave the apostles authority to be apostles, to bring the good news to the Jews, also was working in Peter, and they recognized it. We just read it, that they recognized it, and those apostles in Jerusalem recognized that Paul was on track. And they said, go. And they were co-workers now. There was no controversy between them because they got a revelation from God on what the gospel, the good news was. and so did Paul. So then, though, in 2:11, which is interesting here, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. What happened? They were having a meeting. Peter came in, and he just hung around with the people that were legalists, with the Jews that were following the law, plus Jesus. Jesus plus. And he could see that. It was so obvious. Then what happened was, Paul confronted Peter and Barnabas and you guys. Just a sec. How did we come to know Christ? Was it through following the law? Or was it through Christ and his grace and his mercy toward us? Now there's something here. I know that if we really examine our hearts and we think about it, if there's one thing that I really have to keep, if there's something on me here to earn my salvation or even to walk with the Lord, I'm not going to be able to keep it. I'm coming to that point. As I get grayer, I'm realizing there's nothing that I can keep here except him. He's made it all. He made the way on the cross when he said, "It is finished." We just celebrated Easter. He said, "It is finished." He did the work on the cross. And when we come to Christ, we come needy. We don't come with it all together. These guys, these legalizers were saying, "Well, yeah, but there's this you got to do, and then there's that." We don't even come with saying, "I did pretty good on the Ten Commandments." I don't do very good on the Ten Commandments myself. My sinful nature said, "Ken, you're not keeping it. You need mercy. You need grace." And the good news is that there's hope for every one of us. What God wants, instead of us trying harder, is to surrender more. That's what he wants. He wants us to be transparent. And actually, the Holy Spirit is speaking to everybody's heart, saying, "Yeah, you're in absolute need here. You're in absolute need of me." In one place, in Acts 17, it says, he gives us life and breath and everything else. Once in a while, I'll just take a deep breath. Thank you, Lord, for that one. But most of the time, I'm breathing, and I don't even think about that breath that he gave me. Every breath, every heartbeat is from him. There is nothing without him. In Colossians 1:17, it says, "Everything is held together by him." And I think of the molecules, but there's lots more than that. There's communities, there's social things, there's all those things that God is in control of. It's because of him. So then we try to reach him in our sinful nature, and that's actually, well, Paul says, that's what you're doing, let him be cursed. If I'm up here saying, "Well, try harder. You guys, keep those commandments." I can't. You can't. Trust Jesus. We're going to see what this all comes. It comes to a point where it's him living in me, not me living it out. Because I can't. I found that out quite a ways into my Christian walk. And you know, he totally set me free. Because I realized this is not my work, this is his work. Our life is his work. And so there's a real free, if you don't know that, just hang in there. There's peace. There's love. There's joy. And it's all because of Jesus. So, Paul had to confront Peter. That's an amazing thing. You know, Peter was a pretty big wig, I guess. But he says it doesn't really matter to me because we're all equal. We're all equal here. So the servant at the door and the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears was just as great as Peter. In God's kingdom, there's no respecter of persons. He loves us all. For God so loved the world. That's you. No matter who you are out there. He loves you. He doesn't love our sin. He hates sin because he knows, well, it separates us from him. It causes us pain. So, let's read 2:16. 2:16. Where are we here? My daughter says, Dad, you either need new glasses or you need a bigger print on the Bible. Or she was there last week when I was speaking. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus and not by obeying the law. Faith in Jesus. That's what it is. So I don't know if you're here today and you've received Jesus. It says in John 1:12, it says, to as many as received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the power to become children of God. It's not about getting it all right. We don't get it all right first and then come to him, then we'll never come to him. It'll never happen. So if you're here and you're feeling broken, maybe you've never come to him, then today's the day. Today is the day of salvation, Paul said. Today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Because we don't know if we got tomorrow. Or maybe you're a believer, like I was back there. I'm sure I was a believer, but I was trying to get some kind of recognition from God by trying to obey all the rules. And they weren't all just God's rule, but they were also man's rules and trying to be accepted that way. But you know, when I realized what pleases him is his blood shed on the cross. Oh, no cross here. I thought there was one. But anyway, his blood shed on the cross is what pleases the Father. When he sees the blood, then he's pleased. That's where our standing is. When I get to the gate, and I know Brother Dan at the gate, if he's asked there, it's not going to be Peter asking him. Maybe Jesus will be asking, Dan, why are you getting in here? The blood of Jesus. I'm getting here because you paid for me. Nothing else. Because any kind of righteousness of my own is already tainted. I can't. That's why Jesus died. So, if you're a believer here today, and you're saying, man, I can't cut her. I'm not cutting her. I'm not making it. That's a good place to be if you turn to Jesus. If we don't turn to Jesus, then we tend to get religious. And that's where I remember going to church, and I saw everybody else as a hypocrite. That was before I was a believer, but I was the biggest hypocrite, really. But when I looked and I thought, well, they're saying follow this rules and that rules and that. Rules. Finally, when I realized it's Christ. It's Christ. And when I have Christ, the last four chapters in Galatians talks about when I have Christ, then I'm going to want to obey the law. Not gotta. He knows my desperate state. He knows your desperate state. And he just says, come to me. I'll empower you. I'll forgive you. I'll empower you. It's powerful stuff. Very powerful because it's the Spirit of Christ in us. And Paul is nailing these guys because they're trying to obey in their own power and all these rules. And you know what? Like I said, if one of those rules, if it depends on me even keeping one of those rules, I'm done. I'm going down. I'm going to hell. Because I'm not going to make it. None of us is going to make it by keeping that rule. We're only going to make it through Christ and his grace and live the life by his Spirit. The last two chapters in Galatians. I want to encourage you. When you go home, read through Galatians. And then read through Galatians, and then read through Galatians again. Really, because it's powerful. And you know, we think it was a problem back there. Well, you know, it was a problem farther back with Israelites. Right before Moses died, he said, "You guys won't be able to keep this." He said it. Joshua said, "You guys, this is rules. Yeah, we'll keep it." "No, you won't. You can't. You won't." Ezekiel said, God revealed to Ezekiel, "I'll give you a new heart. God will give you a new heart. Then you'll follow me." That's the only way it works, is we need a new heart by the Spirit of God. Then things start changing. Then I want to follow him. I want to get in the word. The word really means something. But you know what? If I think that I'm going to get brownie points with God or get ahead with God just by reading, it's going to kill me. Paul said the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And the Ten Commandments, what's the Ten Commandments made for? To show us our sinfulness. That's what it's for. God's holiness, our sinfulness. That's what the Ten Commandments, that's what the law was for. Not for us. We can't make it by following it. We're not gonna. So, what does it say about that? 2:19. Let's read there. We just read it, but we'll read it again. "For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me, so I died to the law." Wow. Paul. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Lord. "So that I might live for God." Wow. Dying to the law. What does that mean? It's not rules. It's not rules. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's not just about Jesus, neither. Sometimes we get into it and I talk to people, "Oh, yeah, this and that and that. About Jesus, this, about Jesus." No, it's him. It's the person of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer here today, he lives in you. And he's empowered you to live for him. That's what it says here. And it, you know what? It says it all over. The whole Bible is full of, that's the good news. That's the gospel. Anything short of that, not good news. James said, if you keep the law, the whole law, but you break one, you broke it all. So, you know, some of you guys are loggers here, whatever. You got a chain. Strong chain. 12 links. Well, maybe more. But anyway, and then there's a hairline crack. You notice this hairline crack. Put a lot of weight on it. You won't want to get under it because it's going to break. That's what it's like to try and keep the law. Even on every point. I've done pretty good, you know. Not like that. Not doing good. Lord, you're doing good. You're the one who's empowering me. So, the law condemns. But then, let's look here in 2:20. This is the key verse of the whole book. It is. It's a key verse. "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's the Christian life. So I don't know where you're at. God knows where you're at. God knows where I'm at. I'm a legalist in my own sinful nature. Oh, look at that guy. He's not doing very good. Boy, I'm in trouble when I'm thinking that. Because then I'm thinking I'm doing better. And I'm not. I'm not. If it's Christ in me, I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to have grace. I'm going to love. No matter where people are at. I'm going to be crying rather than condemning. Because Christ didn't come to condemn. It says. If we read John 3, 16, 17, 18. He didn't come to condemn but to save. Because we're already condemned. So, Jesus himself, he said about this too. John 15:5, he talks about the vine and the branches. "Without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. Nothing. And I've had guys come up to me and say, "Can you, old Bible puncher, you know, this and that, and what do you think you are?" Like that. And then I've said it probably to you before, but what do I say back? Sometimes I'll say, "Well, you know, this Jesus, he's your creator too, you know. He gives me every breath I take. He gives me whatever he wants for me that day. And also you. Every breath you take is from him." One day we're going to have to answer for that one. Some people don't recognize him. They think we're in a society, as Lance was saying, right here in Canada, China. How many people really say pray? Like, it's pretty neat. Humboldt. Pray for Humboldt. That's pretty neat. Does it take 15 kids in a bus for us to have that up there? To die before that comes up? Or are we going to pray for Houston? We're going to pray for the Bulkley Valley. The only way that's going to happen is as we let Christ have his way in us. Then we're going to have that mercy rather than the judgment, the condemnation. And so, yeah, Christ died for me. So what God wants here, what Jesus wants, is a relationship, not religion. If you got a pen there, just write it down somewhere on that little bulletin. Relationship, not religion. Religion is us trying to reach God. And there's many religions in this world. Many religions. Some people wave the feather and do the smoke. Smudging. Some other people will bow down to some idol in the corner. They got millions of them. Other people will try hard to do good and self-esteem business. That's a religion. But there's only one true God. And by the authority that God gave Paul, he's saying it's only through Christ. It's no longer Paul who lives. It's not Paul striving to be zealous and killing off them people that didn't quite match up. Paul going out now in Christ, giving the gospel message and standing up to Peter on it. And you know, I think we all got that legalistic side. I'm doing pretty good. Well, you know, we don't want to think about, our focus isn't to be on that sinful nature. Our focus is to be on him. It says that in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. How do we run this race? By focusing on an author and finisher, Jesus. That's how we live this life, allowing him to fill us. So how to practically now, if you're going home, and I said, read Galatians, read. We could say that, like, oh, Ken said, read it, better read it, oh boy. No, no. You know, I read a little thing, I don't know if you got that one, but it's about that thick. Decision Magazine. They sent it. It's a little book, and it's kind of a deal about Billy Graham and that stuff. George W. Bush, wrote in there. And he said, you know, the caption said, you know, I got to know Billy Graham, and then through the words that he gave me about Christ, something like this, he says, if you read the whole article. Anyway, he says, I quit drinking by that. And so then I read the article, and he says, I met Billy Graham. He was over visiting with mom and dad, and I went and met him, and I mentioned about, I'm going to read through the Bible. How should I read through the Bible? Billy said, it's not about reading through the Bible. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And then he sent him some stuff about what God has started in you, he's going to complete. And then George Bush said, I got a relationship with Jesus, and that's how I quit drinking. It's not about quit drinking and then come to Jesus. It's come to Jesus, whatever you got. The drinking's something that Jesus can handle. My legalism is something Jesus can handle. That's what he died for. That's why he died on the cross. He paid the price. So this is a relationship with the creator of the universe. So practically speaking, if you want to know him, you need to come to him, be introduced to him.
And then get to know them, spend time with them. Just spend time. Not about performance. It's just about this privilege that we have to spend time with the creator of the universe. He's never busy. You ever tried to get something settled with TELUS? Did you ever try that? And you get this computer, and then there's this wait time, and then there's this. The creator of the universe is waiting to commune with me and you. And if we've received him and we let him rule in our heart, let him be king, his kingdom will come now in your heart and my heart. And then this valley is going to be different. It is different because of you and me, because we're his ambassadors. And we come with the authority of the Word of God. It's not just some man-made stuff, not made by the demons. It's made by the creator of the universe. So be encouraged today. If you want to talk more about this stuff, I'm going to be sitting right there on the front bench. You come and we'll talk. We can pray together. You don't have to have it all together to talk to me or anybody else. Some people, when they hear that I do a little preaching here and there, oh, then all the swearing stops and everything. Well, that's not what this is about. It's about just knowing Jesus. It's beautiful to know him. So he's been speaking to me just to get up a little earlier, spend a little more time with him. There's no condemnation if I sleep in. He's not waiting with a big club saying, "Ken, you slept in here, bang." Not like that at all. I just missed out on something that could have been. My friend Terry Huseman says, you don't get today's blessing tomorrow. You won't get today's blessing tomorrow. So when you're laying there and you know, well, I should spend a little time with Jesus, come honest. Come transparent. Yes, Lord, I really didn't want to get up. Lord, I'm feeling kind of groggy. And Lord, I did speak to my wife not very good before we went to bed. Or whatever. He wants honest transparency. That's the relationship. More than all the rules and all the regulation. We're going to talk next week more about, we're talking mostly today about justification, meaning that he made us just before him through the blood of the cross. But we're going to talk more and more as we go into Galatians about sanctification, being set apart for a holy purpose. So let's pray. And then, just, Lord, I just thank you for your love for us. The Almighty God coming to earth here, becoming a man so that we could be made right with you just through faith. Lord, I can't keep your law. None of us can keep your law. But Lord, your law is good. So Lord, I thank you that you came to meet with us. You want a relationship with us. And so Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know what that means, I pray that they'd be able to walk out of this door knowing what that means. That they're okay with you no matter what happens today. And Lord, for us who've been believers longer, Lord, so often we fall into the legalistic thing. This and that, and follow that, have to do that, and if they don't do that, Lord, we just want to keep our eyes on you. You'll cause us to want to follow you. You'll want us to follow your law, your rules, your word. So, Lord, I thank you for each one here. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts about Galatians. And Lord, prompt us to wake up maybe a little early and spend some time with you. So thank you, Lord, for each one here. Speak to our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.